plate a potential nugget.
The other phrase that you use a lot in our conversations, Ravi, and also in the book, is about being intentional about our lives. Can you say more about what that term means to you?
Yeah. So I think a lot of people, or people I know, friends, family, colleagues, just sort of drift through life. Okay. They're like a piece of wood carried along by a stream. Now, when that stream was sort of a gentle one, as it has been for some decades, that you can probably get away with it, you know? But when that stream is a very, very fast-moving one with, lots of currents and waterfalls and this sort of thing, then the chances of you being ending up in some bad place are quite high. So I say, look, you can't afford to sleepwalk through life. You can't afford to just drift through life. And I think it is imperative right now, given the amount of change, to be more aware, more thoughtful, more intentional about a whole set of issues. So, for instance, what do I want to do with my life is certainly one that you should be more thoughtful about rather than just grimly hang on to something that pays the bills. that won't last. How do I want to measure success? Now, that's a question that everybody on this podcast probably has thought about, or they wouldn't be here. But for a lot of other people, they're living life implicitly by success criteria set by somebody else. Who do I spend time with? Okay. And time is precious. And as I write, quoting somebody else, you're the sum total of the five people you spend most time with. So if they're going to be so influential in your thoughts, beliefs, and what happens, then you better choose wisely. Where do you get your information from? Who do you trust in a world filled with polarizing figures and fake news and false information? I think it's incredibly important that you think about this rather than just believe every WhatsApp that comes your way and every demagogue who's screaming on TV or whatever. I say it's even more important to go under the surface and examine your beliefs. What do you believe to be true and untrue? These things have happened over time without you recognizing it. It's like malware that has attached itself to your mind. And you need to go back and sort of test whether these beliefs are in fact true or should you change them. What do you pay attention to in your question? So paying attention to what you pay attention to is important because so I just make the case that I think at this moment in time, it is very, very consequential to be slightly more intentional about these issues. And in fact, the main purpose of writing this book is to provoke people to think and become more intentional. I don't, mind if people say, look, this is rubbish. I disagree with that. That doesn't apply to me. Sure, that's all fine. But I'm thrilled that you're at least thinking about it. Okay.
Very true. It reminds me of a conversation I had with a client. At the outside, I walked up to him and said, why me? He said, till recently, I wasn't even aware that where to go was a problem to be solved, And to your point, I think you're right. I think just bringing the problem to people's consciousness itself is a feat.
Yeah. And no matter what choices they make, they will make slightly better choices, down the road. And yeah, things will be discernibly better.
When we are on some of these long journeys, sometimes we don't quite appreciate the frog in the boiling water syndrome playing out. The context around us shifts us really slowly, and we don't even see it, and fast forward 10 years, we end up finding ourselves in a funny place. I'm reminded of an advice I got when I was at McKinsey. One of the senior partners would say that you should always choose to continue in the firm every 2 years. He would say that it's a free market, and you should speak to your contacts and see what other opportunities exist, and then choose to recommit and pursue a path in the firm. Given there's so much dynamism in the market and in the world outside, and in the journey within the firm, there's a great opportunity to refresh the thinking and decision rather than just hurtling forward by default. The other thing that struck me was the point Ravi makes around attention and meta-attention. I had an opportunity to speak to Rich Fernandez, CEO of Search Inside Yourself, a leadership development program incubated in Google. He speaks about this here.
Attention is simply the directing of your mental faculties to an object of focus or attention. And so this is something we all of us do every day. But something that was found in the research is that about half the time, 47% of the time, our minds also wander away from what we're doing. So though we may be focused on something specific, we also get distracted quite easily, on average about half the time. And so meta attention is, if attention is the quality of directing the faculty of attention or focus, meta attention is becoming distracted and then knowing that you're distracted. So in some ways you could say it is attention of attention, knowing when your attention has wandered, knowing when your mind has wandered, and then bringing it back to full attention. So that's the difference between attention and meta attention. Focused attention is direct attention, is that quality, like I said, of focused, directed attention. But when we talk about focused attention in the book and in our curriculum, we talk about it as a skill that you can develop. And there's a set of exercises you can use to cultivate it. And that is simply, it's very similar to meditation. You could sit and watch your breathing, for example. And we use the breathing as an object of attention when we're cultivating focused attention, because it first of all, it's available to everybody. And you don't have to believe in anything to focus on it. And so you can focus on your breath. And studies have shown that when you do focus on your breathing, you activate the attentional networks in your brain, the direct attention networks in your brain. Mm-hmm. And so focused attention is an exercise to cultivate sustained attention over time. And open monitoring, as you pointed out, is a slightly different exercise. There is a quality of attention there, but it's not directed at a single object. It's actually kind of opened up and directed much more broadly. That's much more about noticing the perceptual field. So allowing yourself, for example, to simply notice what you notice. I'm not speaking in riddles here. I'm just trying to explain what it means to like notice your own perceptions. That is open monitoring. So what are you thinking in this very moment? What are you feeling in this very moment? What might physically you be experiencing in this very moment? Your attention moves to all of these different factors throughout, as you know, moment by moment, second by second. So becoming aware of how your attention is shifting and moving is the process of open monitoring.
Back to what Ravi says, what we pay attention to influences what we end up doing. What we end up doing ends up building our habits, and these habits and behaviors end up shaping our lives.